right. Praise God. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, class. I'm just messing with you. What an honor. And I will say this, your pastors, you guys have some of the greatest pastors on the entire planet. You know, I really mean it. Not everyone would allow you to bring your kids last second. And my boys, you know, they're good boys, but, you know, they're just quite active. And I knew that these were the right people to allow it because they have three boys of their own and a Carly, right? So that last one, boy, I mean, they just fit right in. I mean, she is such a blessing, of course. And man, any men in here today? Guys, we practiced this on Friday night. This is horrible. Any men in here today? Yeah! All right, wonderful. Well, sorry, ladies. We had such a great time. And one of you men told your wives on me, said, there are certain things that I said. I promise I'll be a little bit more calmer today and all that stuff. But I believe we're going to have a good time today, aren't you? Don't you? I don't know. Everything's going to happen. Let's pray. How about that? Let's pray so that way my mouth can really hook up to my spirit a little bit. Before I do, my wife doesn't like me doing this, but I do want to say thank you to her for being such a wonderful wife and being here with me. And also, if you heard that Kenneth and Lynette were coming, and I know a few months ago, I think it was, or last year, you guys had another Kenneth and Lynette here, I apologize if you were disappointed, if you were expecting them. I really mean it. I apologize ahead of time. But we're still going to have a good time in here today. Amen. Praise God. So I want to get into the Word. We'll pray here in just a little bit. But I want to say to you, and again, apologize to the media team. I sent them some scriptures about a direction that I thought I was going to go. Actually, I was trying to avoid some stuff. And last night before I went to bed, you know, it was just kind of on my heart. And I was like, oh, no, you know. And went to bed, woke up this morning, and still it's like, oh, you know. So I'm just believing God. I trust that you're believing God with me, that whatever he wants, how many want to hear whatever it is that he has for us to hear? Amen. Amen. So we'll hook up together, and we'll believe God together by faith. And so let's pray together. Stretch your hands towards me. It's not always the most comfortable thing to go this way. As far as this flow, some of y'all getting concerned right now, like, what is he going to talk about today? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this day, for this church. What a wonderful church, a wonderful body of believers that you care so much for. And so we do thank you for loving us and loving this church and loving this community to bring a church such as this here. And you see the importance of it that you led Pastors Josh and Anna to come right here in this town and in the surrounding areas to plant this church and to grow these people up. And what an honor and a privilege we have to be a part of that. Lord, as we get into the Word today, we believe for revelation knowledge to flood the eyes of our heart, that we will receive your Word as if it is you speaking to us, because we know that it is. And so we thank you for revelation knowledge, as we said. Thank you, Holy Ghost, that you speak through me. I believe, once again, that my mouth is hooked up to my spirit and my spirit is hooked up to your mouth. And I desire to speak as the very oracles of God, that I may decrease so that you can increase, that it's not my words, but your words. And so we believe and we expect words from heaven for this generation, for this church, for this body, for those that may be watching online. We thank you, we honor you, and we want to be careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Well, let's go ahead and get into it today. I believe it's going to be a great and powerful time again. And so Friday night for the men's conference, we started talking about honor a little bit, and I didn't want to necessarily teach on that. This Sunday morning, I really wanted, so let me tell you a little bit about me. I grew up as a pastor's kid, right? So I had this issue of just wanting to feel liked by everybody. I don't know if anybody else had that, you know, so I just didn't want to. So I just kind of, I want to come in and, like, you know, be funny and preach a great message that just makes people laugh and makes you feel good. Now, some of y'all are still getting concerned, like, what is he going to talk about? You're still going to leave here feeling good, Right? But the Word of God, it comes for different reasons. Yes, there's encouragement, but also there's correction. There's some of y'all like, oh my gosh, okay, let me just get into it. So some of y'all are getting so concerned right now. But I just really believe that God has some things that he wants to say to us. And I'm just on assignment to be here. We are so honored to be here. When I say as far as your pastors being some of the best pastors, I am not just blowing steam. You got to edit a whole bunch of stuff. I apologize for the pause because some of y'all were thinking all kinds of different things when I said that, you know. But I really mean it. Even we took a tour of this wonderful facility, and our youngest, Cole, he just turned 8 last month, and he said to Pastor Josh, he said, wow, you guys think really big. I heard a slow clap. It was that. Y'all can clap for that. I heard man, you're disappointing me. You're really disappointing me right now. You're really disappointing me. We practice all this stuff Friday night. We don't need to go back over this. I don't have a whole lot of time. And but it's really true. Just the visionaries that they are, the love that they have for people, that God would love you enough to bless you with pastors such as this. You know, I think about Jesus when he was, the Bible says in, I think it's in Mark chapter 6, when he fed the 5,000, it said this about it. It said that the Lord Jesus, when he saw the people as sheep having no shepherd, he was moved with compassion. He saw them as sheep having no shepherd, and he was moved with compassion. And I believe that Jesus is still moved with compassion, that this is still so important that we have a shepherd in our life, that these are gifts. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about, is it Ephesians 4? Yeah, he says that he ascended on high and he gave gifts unto men. And these gifts, you know, that of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, for the equipping of the saints, for our perfecting. I know that, you know, none of us are perfect, but, and he says, until we come to full unity. And so these gifts are still in the body, that God loved us enough that he gave us these gifts. And what a shame it is when these gifts come to us and we don't quite, you know, it's like, well, I don't like that gift. How many of y'all are re-gifters? I mean, you know, just... I know there's a few of you in here like, you know, I really don't, you know, let me just rewrap this and Mother's Day is around the corner. No, but these are gifts that are to us. And so I want to deal with honor just a little bit different. I don't even have this all together. I gave them some scriptures, but the way the Lord uses me is more inspirationally, even though I don't know why. I'll prepare, I'll have stuff, and then it's just like, try this on, son, right? But let's go into this. Let's start in, what's a good place to start? Let's start in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 8 to verse 13, New Living Translation. I gave them the scripture, so I'll start here. And really, as we're getting ready to go here, honor is something that is so important. We went over this on Friday. God actually has it in, as part of our culture, in the kingdom of God, right? We know this, that every culture has a kingdom. I mean, every kingdom has a culture. I grew up in the Caribbean. Every now and then you can hear a certain accent come out if you're like, where's he from? You know, I'm trying to speak in such a way. Some of you are like, I wonder how he really speaks. I'll give it to you. Growing up, I usually would talk like this here. Exactly. That's why I don't talk like that. Some of you are like, what did he say? I said, every now and then I usually talk like this. Okay. So I'm like Paul. I'm made all things to all people. You know what I mean? So, but... But anywho, God instituted honor. As a matter of fact, there's three institutions that really God has ordained that we honor. Number one is that of honor in the home. Of course, when we're talking about honor, we're talking about honoring God, right? This is bottom line, how it is. Everything you do, do it as unto the Lord, right? So honor, three institutions. Number one is that of honor in the home. Number two, that of honor in the church. And number three, that of honor in, if we could say it this way, government. And what I mean is that you don't have to agree with everything. You know, for instance, you might not necessarily agree with a particular way a police officer speaks to you or something like that, but we still honor the authority of that, right? So in the home, You honor the authority of your father and your mother. They are not perfect. Amen. They're not perfect. Now, as a matter of fact, even us, like when, you know, we make decisions like, well, I'm not going to make the same mistakes my parents made. And we go so much trying not to make those same mistakes that we end up making our own different mistakes. And it just keeps happening, you know. And thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. He knows that we're not perfect. I love baby dedication Sundays. As a pastor, is one of my favorite Sundays. I just love it. But you see the responsibility that we have, that even we have to teach and demonstrate honor in the home. Right? And it's not for our sake, but we do it for their sake. Again, I'm not going to go there right now, but Ephesians chapter 6, it says, what? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You know, verse 2, honor your father and your mother in the Lord. For this is the first commandment with promise. And verse 3 says, that it may be well with you. And so we teach honor to our children, not for our sake, not because we just want to be their buddies or we just want to have somebody that bows down to us and obeys us. But no, really, this is the first commandment with promise. There's a promise that's tied to this. I want you to live a long life. I want you to be prosperous. I don't want you growing up like these other people. And if we don't teach it at home, then they got to try to learn it in school. If they don't learn it in school, then they're going to try to learn it. The police is going to try to teach it to them. And, you know, all these different things. But honor is so necessary. It's so important. And we can see through the Word of God how God places a value on this. Amen. So, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 8, Paul says this. He says, we serve God whether people honor us or despise us. I'll stop right there for a little bit. He says, we serve God whether people honor us or despise us. Now, isn't that interesting? That whether or not someone honors us, we still do what? We still serve God. Because here's what I'll say. Sometimes you can teach a message like this and it'll trigger certain feelings. People start thinking about their parents and how maybe, you know, the mistakes that their parents made or not having a parent in their life, or maybe the mistakes that you've been making, or sometimes it's like, well, you know, I wish my husband would be this way, or I wish my wife didn't nag me as much, and all this different stuff. Now, men, I know some of y'all are thinking, Pastor, would you please go to that scripture? I will, because I gave you my word. Men know what I'm talking about, don't we? Thank you. Y'all are horrible. This is bad. I don't know if I'll ever come back to another men's conference. Again, you're disappointing me so much, but there's therefore no condemnation, so let me stop. But Paul here, he says, we serve God whether people honor us or despise us, whether they slander us or praise us. He says, we are honest, but they call us imposters. We are ignored, even though we are well known. We live close to death, but we're still alive. We have been beaten, but we have not been killed. Our hearts ache, but we always have joy. We are poor, but we give spiritual riches to others. We own nothing, and yet we have everything. Oh, dear Corinthian friends, we have spoken honestly with you, and our hearts are open to you. There is no lack of love on our part, but you have withheld your love from us. I am asking you to respond as if you are my own children. Open your hearts to us. And from this, I was reading this some time ago and from the New Living Translation, and I was like, I almost could feel Paul's heart. I just was like, I almost got to a place of weeping. Now, I pastor a wonderful church. I really do. But I think about so many pastors that, you know, October is even Pastors Appreciation Month. I guess this is why, I don't know if you know this or not. I don't know what you guys do around here, but I think about, man, just over the last decade, how many pastors have had issues mentally, struggling, and those that have committed suicide, and it's really heartbreaking. And Paul, now, of course, we live in such a way that and your pastors are so integral, and I thank God for that. And you should thank God that you do have pastors that are integral. And we know that everybody's not like that. And if you came from another church, and sometimes what happens is because of church hurt and all those different, everybody talks about church hurt except the hurt that the pastor receives. Because we are the one constant. Y'all got to forgive me. I was a pastor's kid, so you know what I mean? There's just some stuff. It's like, I ain't going to write your name down. Like, oh, Pastor, we are here with you forever. Yeah, I'm not even going to waste the ink writing your name down, because you out of here in just I give you 6 weeks. You know, because as long as we're all lovable and as long as you like us, it's good. But if we got to correct something, oh, who do you think you are? Y'all doing all right? I'm just going to keep smiling so that way it's received well. But Paul, he's saying this church in Corinth was a jacked up church, all kinds of issues, people sleeping around. I mean, we don't need to go into all that stuff. But Paul is saying, listen, whether we're honored or despised, we still serve God. So regardless of how you treat us, we're still going to serve God. We're still going to keep on going. And here's the thing, Trailhead Church, I know that you're doing well. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, from verse 9 to verse 12, Paul says this, he says, concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But look at this, he says, but we urge you, brethren, that you do what? That you increase more and more. Somebody say increase. That you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life. I love this scripture. To what? To mind your own business. There's times where I'm like, I've put it out there because I have. There's been times people have made comments about us on the Lord's internet, and I just put this scripture out there, just like you know, here, just read this, meditate on it. Mind your own business. To mind your own business as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, that you may lack, that you what? May lack nothing. God desires that we lack nothing. But there are things, and so Paul is saying, hey, you're doing great, but I'm just urging you, I'm just encouraging you that you just increase. That you just increase. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 in the Amplified Classic, it talks about to pursue this love. Make it your aim. Make it your great quest in life. A quest means this is a lifelong thing. This is something that you got to put attention to. In other words, you might be at a certain level, but there's some attention. This love is on the inside of you. It's not that you try to get it. If you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, the love of God has been shed abroad. It's been poured out in your heart. One translation says that a love transfusion took place. And so you now have God's ability to love the same exact way. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, hey, I'm giving you the barometer. I'm giving you the measure of how I want you to love. Just as I love you, I want you to love one another. And so honor goes different ways. It goes up. You honor up. You honor those that you honor your parents. You honor your spiritual parents or your pastors, your leaders. You honor those that are over you in authority. You honor your peers, your friends and all that. You know, if you have no friends, if you don't have any old friends, you know, there might be some kind of challenge. If you have no new friends, we have located the problem. Because the Bible tells us to be friendly. And a lot of times we're looking for the honor, but we don't want to sow honor. We're like, why? I mean, you know, why can't I? And I know we all feel like we are actually a great friend. I know it. And that's why we get disappointed when someone else doesn't quite return the same level of our sacrifice. But here's the thing is that we should not look to it from that person. I'll tell you the truth, as a pastor, you know, there's times where people will be like, well, I feel like I'm this and that, and because I can't show up at your kid's ball game. Come on. Come on. Good. I'm forgetting to smile, Sam. But it ends up being a problem. Well, I can't. You know, there's some people that just want to lock you in. We don't want to grow anymore. We just happen to be right here because we know our pastors. And our pastors know us and all that. I don't know why I'm saying all this stuff. I didn't plan on, you know, words from heaven for this generation. Praise God. Y'all said we were leaving together, didn't you? Amen. And thank you for that. Appreciate it. And But the Bible actually values honor so much that it takes the time to talk about the importance of it in all relationships. And honor is included in the God kind of love. And so again, we see it in different areas. You know, let me go here so I can keep my word. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. Ephesians 5, verse 33. Before we go there, Romans 12:10 says this, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, given preference to one another. You actually increase in the love of God when you understand and practice honor. Ephesians 5, verse 33. Really, we could read from verse 22 all the way down to verse 33, but I don't have time to go over that. But really, the best place to start practicing honor is in your home. Husbands to wives, wives to husbands, and all that. And we know the Bible has a lot to say about this. And so, in Ephesians 5, verse 33, Amplified, it says this. It says, however, I'm getting excited, sorry. Because I love the word so much. However, let each man of you, without exception, so no one's excluded from this, without exception, love his wife as being, in a sense, his very own self, right? So men, we have a responsibility to love our wives as ourselves. I believe we all love our bodies. That's why we feed our, you know, we feed. I mean, I tasted some of the chili. Some of y'all were very good, you know, so I can tell you just love food. Right? So we love our bodies. We take care of our bodies. It's why, I won't go too far with that. But also he tells us to love our wives as Christ loved the church. You know, Christ was willing to be slapped, spit on, was willing to sacrifice his life for his wife. I remember years ago watching King of Queens. I'm not telling you to watch it, but it was, this one episode was hilarious when they were on a flight. You know how they say when the change of cabin, the change in pressure happens, you know, these oxygen mask will come down, and to put it on yourself and first, right? And there's a reason why, because within seconds, you know, because I used to be like, what in the world? I mean, if I got a child, I'm going to take care of that child first. But the reason why is because you got to help yourself first, because within seconds you can lose consciousness. That child may not be able to help you, but even though that child may lose consciousness, you still have time to help that child. And that's why even Paul told Timothy, he said, hey, give attention to doctrine that you may save yourself and those that listen to you. And that's why even as ministers, we have to have boundaries. Like, I had to learn this. Like, you know, I can't just try to be everybody's friend. As friendly as Pastors Josh and Anna are, they are not here to be your friends. Now, anything that I say that they don't agree with, they can honestly stop me and change it. They can come up after me. I will not get offended because I'm under their authority right now. Right? Now, they can be friendly, but they're not called to be your friends. They're called to be your pastors. They're not even here to be your cheerleaders. They're here to be your coach. And I found out that even professional athletes that make millions of dollars, they still have a coach. They might shoot better. You know, I'm an Orlando Magic fan, and I apologize to the UNC people real quick, but Paolo Banchero, some of y'all have heard about him. Well, we have him on our team now, right? I'm super excited, so thank you. Thank you so much. But as great of a player as he is, and he can shoot the ball really well, shoot it better than his coach, yet he still has a coach. Amen. He still has someone that comes and like, hey, listen, I know you think you're doing great, but just a slight adjustment. And somebody, hey, your elbows are flaring out a little bit too much. Why don't you just bring it in? Yeah. Really? I think I'm doing good, though. You know, I'm still hitting shots. I make more money than you. You know, you might be doing all right, but still, if you just make this slight adjustment, your percentage will go up. Does that make sense? And so, we need coaches in our life. Sometimes that will challenge us in different areas in our marriage, in our parenting, in our finances, in business. that even though you might think that we're smart, like, hey, I know my business better than you do. It's amazing that when you honor that relationship. Y'all remember when Jesus, what's this, Luke chapter 5, when he gets in Peter's boat. This is after they were out fishing all night, toiling all night. I mean, and they didn't catch anything. Now, this is not a hobby. This is their livelihood. And Jesus, without permission, gets in his boat. Or let's say it this way, steps in his place of business and says, hey, push out from the shore so I can preach a little bit, so they can hear me a little bit more. And think about it. Peter's probably tired. His wife has probably been fussing with him already because, you know, you out fishing all night and you didn't catch nothing. You know, and he's thinking about, like, what were you doing all? Sure, really, you were fishing and you didn't catch a thing. You're such a professional. Oh, providing for the family and you didn't catch nothing. He's probably coming home to a wife that's about to be nagging to him. Like, I know you was just hanging with your friends. Y'all was just sitting there talking all night long, farting around. And, you know, so he's thinking about this and he's hungry probably. You know, they already washed their nets. These nets are heavy, and Jesus preaches, and he probably wasn't one of these short preachers. I mean, we know that he would teach for a long time. That's why the disciples even said, hey, the people are getting hungry. Let's send them away so they don't pass out. You've been teaching quite a while, Jesus. And Peter's there, and he hears Jesus teaching, and then afterwards, and I love this, and maybe somebody needs to hear this, Jesus says, now let down your nets for a catch. Yeah, right. And Peter says, well, hey, great teaching, teacher. You know, but this is my profession. Yeah. Well, you know what? Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down. If New King James says, I'll let down the net. And they let down a net. But Jesus told them, let down your nets for a catch. He said, nevertheless, I'll let down the net. So they didn't even fully obey. And I wonder how many times God has told us to do something or there's things from his word that we should be obeying. And we're not fully obeying. We might even do it, but, you know, our hearts aren't fully in it. Yeah. You know what I mean? You better be happy. At least I showed up at church. Well, you know, just because you obey doesn't mean that you've honored. I mean, right, how many times have we told our kids, you know, hey, take out the trash, but on their way out, they kick the trash and all those different things, and they obeyed, they did it, but wasn't honor because of the attitude behind it. And so Peter was like, you know, all right, I'll let down the net. Well, it was such a net-breaking catch. I mean, who knows what would have happened had they let down their nets. I mean, fish probably would jump out on the shore and all kinds of different stuff. So there was still a blessing there, but we don't know how much more of a blessing there would have been had he just honored that word. And I love how Jesus did it. In other words, Jesus, he's like, I'm not going to let you use your resources for the preaching of the gospel and not do something in particular. Do some major blessing in your life. And I know many of you are generous. You've done, I mean, I look at the facilities. This didn't happen just because of, y'all didn't sell peanut brittle and all these different things to do it. There were some people that were giving, that connected with the vision. And so it wasn't a bunch of fish fries that you were doing. I know you probably cook well. You didn't have a chili cook-off and like all this different stuff. Maybe you did other things, but it was really through the generosity of different individuals that the Lord would lead. And I can guarantee you that there are some of those that have done that you can say, I'm a witness to the favor of God, to the goodness, because Jesus is like, hey, you honor me, I'm going to do something special in your life, in your business, in your home, in your finances. And that should be the faith that we apply. Like, Lord, I just know I did it out of the goodness of my heart. I did it because I love you. I did it because I love this church. I did it because I believe in the vision. But God, I know that you have something incredible to happen in my life. I honor you. Yeah. Man, I'm going back to the scripture. I'm going back to the scripture. You're like, you got off, but I'm coming back. So he says, let us love his wife as being, in a sense, his very own self. Now, let me talk to you ladies real quick. I know it's a men's conference, but y'all are here on a Sunday morning. So I got to talk to you too. Now, ladies, how many of you love the Word of God? Amen. How many of you say that I'm a woman of the Word of God? Now, y'all getting kind of quiet on me real quick. Now, I'm leaving today, so you know, I'm just reporting the Word. So it's verse 33. It's your Bible. Oh, thank you, honey. Listen, I'm about to talk about you in this scripture. Look at that. Because it says, and let the wife see that she, y'all with me? It's up on the screen, right? Let the wife see that she respects and reverences her husband. But I like the way the Amplified just kind of amplifies it. Let's continue on. And that she notices him. Yeah, I notice him all right. It's amazing. You first get married and you're like, you see what the Lord blessed me with? Look what the Lord blessed me with. But after some time, you're like, there he is. That's what the Lord blessed me with. See that? That's my gift from God. You see that? But it says that she notices him, regards him, honors him, prefers him, venerates. Don't look it up. I know what it means, but just let your imagination flow with this. Don't look it up. Don't look it up, ladies. Just let your imagination, whatever you think it means, then just go with that. That's the Spirit of God leading you. So let you venerate him. Somebody said venerate. Yeah, sounds good. Praise the Lord. Veneration needs to be taking place. And esteems him, that she defers to him, praises him, and loves and admires him exceedingly. Now, here's the thing. The influence of a woman actually has so much power. The influence of a woman's honor can make a champion. And ladies, if you understand this, like, you're either helping to make a chump or a champion, but your honor has so much power. Your influence, the influence of the honor that you give, can make champions in your home. Now, I'm not excusing the men. Some of you are like, please get off of that. But can I say this, ladies? If you show honor and respect to your husband in public, man, that lifts him up so much. That will move him up. And of course, honor goes both ways. And one of the best things that you can do for your children is to demonstrate honor in front of them. As a wife showing honor to your husband, as husbands showing honor to your wife, that is one of the best things that you can do for your children. And let's go to 1 Peter 3 real quick. 1 Peter 3. I don't think I gave you guys the scripture. 1 Peter 3. The atmosphere in your home will determine whether you raise a champion or whether you raise a disaster. Yeah, I probably shouldn't have said chump. You know what I mean? 1 Peter 3. I'm telling y'all to turn there, and I'm not turning there. I don't have this in my notes. 1 Peter 3. And it says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your, I know that's a cuss word in some places. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husband. So, to your own husband. Like, don't let some other man be like, you better submit to me. No. To your own husband. And here's the thing, to some ladies, at least where I grew up, okay, they, you know, are submissive to their, if they have a male boss, yes, sir, how would you like your coffee? You know, and, you know, smile on your face. Then you come home and your husband asks you for, hey, can I get some coffee? Your hands went to church. You can't get it yourself. Anyways, I'm going to get off of that. I don't have time. But it says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. Now, if this works for an unbelieving husband, imagine what it will do for a husband that does believe. Oh, we sure are getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. But imagine what it will do for a husband that does believe, right? And so the greatest need of every man is, and I'm going to start to close here a little bit, because there's so much that God has to say about this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 to verse 13, it says this. It says, and we urge you, brethren, that you to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to, it says, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. You can write the scripture down if you're taking notes and look at it a little bit later. It says, be at peace among yourselves, right? And so you esteem them very highly in love, but it's not even just for their sake, it's for their work's sake. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, did I need to give it again? Chapter 5, verse 12 to verse 13. That you esteem them very highly in love, very highly. In other words, we walk in love, but hey, listen, your pastors need you to esteem them very highly in love. You know why that is? Because I know you think they're perfect, but they're not. I've been with them. I can tell you that they're not, you know. They're close to it, but they're not, right? But you esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. You're actually helping the kingdom of God when you do so. You know, again, here's what happens is sometimes, okay, I remember Noah. You know, he got, now your pastors are not like this, thank God, but he gets drunk and his son Ham comes in and sees him naked and like comes out and starts talking about his dad, starts spreading. And thank God the other brothers, they walked backwards so they wouldn't see and covered him. And so what happens is every now and then we might see a little flesh. And because you see a little flesh, you think now, okay, let me tell somebody else about this. And some of y'all are so spiritual too, you know, spiritual gossip is like, hey, we need to pray for our pastors. Let me tell you what I discern. I discern that this, no, that's not how we do. I know that you're a great church. I know that you are. I know that you are. You are, but again, just that you increase more and more. Amen. Oh boy. Y'all doing all right? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 7. They're not following you. I don't know why. What's wrong with them? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. I'm sorry, guys. I'm always in church. I got to have fun. I always got to have fun, you know? Musicians, y'all can come up. I'm closing now. It says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor. So there's honor, but those that rule well are counted worthy of what? So in other words, there's one level of honor, but now they're worthy of double honor. Somebody say double. Double honor. Be worthy of double honor. Especially those who labor in word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. And the laborer is worthy of his wages. The laborer is worthy of his wages. Amplified reads it this way. Let the elders who perform the duties of their office be considered doubly worthy of honor and of adequate financial support, especially those who labor faithfully in preaching and teaching. Message reads it this way. I'll go ahead and read this. It says, give a bonus to leaders who do a good job, especially the ones who work hard at preaching and teaching. Scripture tells us don't muzzle a working ox, and a worker deserves his pay. You know, honor is not always convenient, but what honor does is it unlocks the supernatural. And you really can't honor the Lord without honoring supernatural relationships, right? Your pastors, that's a supernatural relationship in your life. There's friends that God has brought into your life. Those are supernatural relationships. Of course, your spouse, that's a supernatural relationship. And you really can't honor God without honoring these supernatural relationships. And there's just some, I can just tell you this, that it's the way that I live now. It's not automatic. I had to be taught this. I had to put my flesh under. I had to put like certain thoughts to the side. And again, I know people can be triggered with this. I know that there's excess. I know that there's been extreme things and all that. But just because there's excess, just because there's extremes, doesn't mean that we shouldn't touch it. Doesn't mean that we should not apply scripture to our lives, the truth to our lives. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul was saying, hey, listen, you gave once and you gave again and all these, I'm not taking up an offering, y'all can settle down, relax. But he said, you gave once and you gave again. And he said this, he says, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. I mean, preachers always got to talk about, like, just in case there's somebody suspicious, it's not that I seek the gift, but there is a fruit. There is an account that you have with God, and what I'm seeking is the fruit that abounds to your account. And so I don't have time to really get into this, but, and I don't know what's on your heart to do, but I would tell you this, with Pastor's Appreciation Month, you know, sometimes people just, hey, Pastor, thank you so much. And as great of a facility this is, and I love all the wood, and I love all the detail and the attention to detail, and I am so impressed by it. But I'll tell you this, these wood planks can't pray for you. These wood planks can't give you the word of God. And as wonderful of a structure this is, but you know what? I've just learned that in my life that those that God, I mean, I'll just pick out a few people. You know, I'm not saying you got to do this with everybody, but those that have really been that in my life, those that sow spiritual things into my life, I give them of my carnal things. And I know what it's like as a pastor, you know, because again, growing up as a PK and having people talk bad about my dad and say things like, oh, he's stealing the church money and doing all these different things. So for me, I never wanted to deal with stuff. I never wanted to talk about it. And I actually just kind of shied away from it. But I noticed in my life that as I started honoring those that's over me in the Lord, supernatural stuff just started taking place. I wish I could. I'm not that smart. I'm not, as you can tell, I'm not that great of a speaker. But God has just, there's an anointing upon my life that I've just been walking in and experiencing an increase. And as I've been increasing in this area of honoring those over me in the Lord, you know, I got certain people, my parents, spiritual parents, Mark and Trina Hankins, they're that, the Hagans, you know, I mean, where I've just been doing things. That Pastor Hagan was at my church recently, and you know what I did? I bought him a pair of Yeezys. how old is he? 86, 81 of them. He's in his 80s. And you know what? I was like, man, I want to buy him a pair of Yeezys. I never had a pair of Yeezys myself. These, y'all, I'm breaking these in. This is the first time. Somebody just bought them for me. But I just wanted him to, and I couldn't find it. So I had to go to one of these like places where it was like over $500. I was like, good Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Bought him that, bought Mrs. Hagan some jewelry and all kinds of stuff. Just because, hey, we just want to honor you. I know that they don't need it. You know what I mean? But it's just, but I need to give it. More than they need to receive it. Because I value that word. I value what you've done in my life. And it opens up the supernatural. It really does. And I don't know if you were able to get something out of this. I trust that you were. But there's just something about it. Mark 6, we went over this. Jesus could not do any mighty work there because of their unbelief. But he says he connected unbelief to dishonor. He said a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. And so what you treat as common, you cannot receive an anointing from. You might get some good messages. You might get some, they're not asking for anything. Again, they can correct this. They can correct me afterwards and say, hey, don't talk about that in second service. But I'm just saying this to you. Not because they're my friends. I didn't want to talk about any of this stuff. You know, it's my first time here. I don't want to, you know, I want you to like me. But there's just something supernatural that comes to it, with it. I remember for years, my wife and I just had one car. And you know, I just thought I was being humble. And the Lord was like, well, thank you for thinking I need your help. There were times where we didn't take pay, like when the church was struggling, we paid all the other employees, but we didn't let anybody know. And God still provided, but there was one time he corrected me. He said, don't you ever do that again. I commanded that those that preach the gospel should live of the gospel. And if you think I need your help financially. And I was like, yes, Lord. I did that. But I remember when I needed a car, I don't want to, because people will talk about me and I don't want them to think this and think that. Let me tell you something. You should want your pastors to drive nice and live in the best and eat the best and wear the best. Come on now. How many of you want to go to a surgeon and you see them riding up in a little broken down car. I mean, I'm not going to no surgeon. If I got to go for surgery, no, I want you to, I want to know that you're living by this thing. So I don't know what's in their heart. I don't know what's in your heart to do or whatever. But man, whatever you can do, just increase it, Lord. Not for them, but as unto the Lord. Lord, I'm doing this because I love you. Amen. That's my time. Let me pray real quick. Father, we thank you so much for your heart. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for just speaking to us today. May we make adjustments in the different areas that we should and that we need to. That Father, I believe that even as I was speaking, Holy Ghost, you were speaking to their hearts and showing them things in their marriages, in their relationships with their children and with their parents, with friends, with their pastors. Lord, we honor you and we thank you for all that you're doing in us and through us. Thank you for your wisdom. We honor you and we thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Josh, would you come?